Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to WRTS FM Blog Talk Radio. This is Minister Jonathan Simmons of Consider the Word Ministries in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanking you for stopping by. Hopefully you enjoy our program. We like to bring a little faith and see if we can apply the Word of God to everyday activities in our lives. So if you're on an archive program, please sit back and listen and enjoy. But if you are listening live, call in and comment, and let's discuss the Word of God and try to find application in our lives today. Thank you, and God bless.
Good afternoon, everyone. Minister Jonathan Simmons to you again live from just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. This is Consider the Word Ministries on WRTS-FM Blog Talk Radio. Well, this afternoon, folks, I don't want to call it a rant because that's kind of a strange term, but something's been on my mind lately, and I don't know if it's been on the minds of other people or not, but I could say I don't care because I'm hosting my show. In any case, I've been very, very disturbed at the lack of kudos that is given to the male species, especially in Western civilization and, more importantly, in the U.S. of A., which I live in. As a matter of fact, one of our Blog Talk radio show partners had a show dealing with the feminization of America. And if you look all around you, whether it be in your school curriculums, whether it be in your preaching and teaching from your local pulpits, there seems to be, in my humble opinion, a great emphasis on the female point of view and a very limited emphasis on the male point of view, almost to the point of trying to emasculate the male species, and with some emphasis increased on emasculating the male species. Now, a lot of people would say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is that it seems oftentimes when the male is shown, especially the African-American male is shown, he seems to be a caricature of himself. If he is shown in his maleness, it's an exaggerated, machismo, bravado, violent-filled version of himself, whether it be, you know, through for a long period of time, a emphasis on hardcore rap with lyrics that were unsuitable for most people, videos that were filled almost with a misogynistic type point of view. You know, I don't have to go through this with you. All of you who listen to this radio and who have been educated and looked at the media as it's played this out over the last few years, it's all the same. Videos that emphasize bling, you know, brothers who, instead of making it out in the business world per se, they have made it through rap music, athletics, dope dealing, or whatever have you, and it's all about the Benjamins, all about the cheddar, all about the cheese, the money, the dollars, greenbacks, whatever you want to call it. And if you have that, and if you have necessary machismo, if you can handle your business, take care of it the way you're supposed to, you will get the most dazzling, delicious damsel on the block. Matter of fact, they'll come running after you because you got the biggest rim on the biggest ride and you're sporting the biggest grill. Well, that's not what we're looking for, and that's not the only idea of our maleness. Now, before you think I'm just hating because I'm an old school cat, and maybe some of you think I can't bring it like that because I'm an old school cat, that's not really the case. What it really is just a simple statement of fact. Or if we don't get that, you know, we get the guy that we see oftentimes on these reality shows, whether it be the assistants to the woman who does the Life in the Fabulous Lane show, the dazzlingly beautiful former wife of Russell Simmons, or whether it be on some of these other fashion shows where they sew basically a neutered in some cases blatantly homosexual, showing you that side of the maleness. Or we see the henpecked husband who it used to be father's knows best. Now we see instead, I mean for white and black males, portrayed as the dumb husband who somehow couldn't have his act together had it not been for his wife, who is the real mind of the family, the CEO, and basically this guy is only good for, you know, having a job, throwing some income, and obviously the seed for reproduction. But is that all we are? Is that what the male has become in Western civilization, a character? Why are we not being shown as what we really are? Now, I'm not naive. There's been a long period of time where women have been marginalized. Women in many countries still to this day are treated as second-class citizens. In some countries, treated really on the same level as cattle or any other possession. So I certainly applaud, you know, my sisters out there of all colors who are out there, quote-unquote, handling their business, who are making businesses run and hum like a top, who in many cases are doing that in addition to taking care and running a family and birthing babies, which we males can't do and don't want to do under any circumstance. So I'm not trying to be a female basher or hater. It's just that I wonder sometime, have we gone overboard in this quest to try to make everything soft and gentle, you know, quiet and easy? Have we turned our society into one that has basically cast the male aside? We're being drugged, we're being beaten, we're being killed, we're being jailed. And then people look around and wonder, where are our leaders? Where are suitable male candidates for marriage? We've been spayed and neutered, in the words of Bob Barker, our host on The Price is Right. And I hate to sound harsh. I don't want to sound like I'm just an angry, old, bitter guy, because that's something which I have hoped not to become. But really, you just begin to wonder, you know, again, what direction we're going in. I think that maleness should be celebrated, because maleness doesn't necessarily mean destruction and bravado and machismo. What it means is maleness and being a man, especially in the biblical context, means being a stand-up person, since we have the term be a stand-up guy or man up. That's what maleness should have a connotation of, someone willing to take a stand and do the right thing. And I'm not saying that this is distinctly and only credited to the male species. We know that women are told to be people of integrity as well. But I think that sometimes we've gotten away from allowing men to be men, allowing boys to grow up into men. Boys are boys. They're not girls. So boys are going to run. They're going to jump. They're going to climb on things. In many cases, they're going to be very active and jump around. And to some degree, we should ask ourselves, why are the males so active? Maybe it's because, unlike in times past, women are much more active during their pregnancy. Maybe that has an impact on why our kids are so hyper. Maybe the diet. And again, I don't want women to think I'm throwing you on the bus and blaming you for the ills of the world. I'm just looking to get some balance in this whole thing, this male-female thing. It is, in fact, a man's world, as James Brown's song so aptly connotates. I was hoping to have that song available to play you just a little bit, because I really like it. But if you listen to the whole song, he also says that we would be nothing without that woman by our side. Matter of fact, even the Lord himself, he said, hey. Well, he didn't say hey, but in Genesis, he said it's not good for the man to be alone. And he brought all of the animals that he had created. But the Bible said none was suitable as a mate. So he put Adam into a deep sleep, took out one of his ribs, and he formed woman. Matter of fact, that's a very apt term, because I can tell you, As those brothers see some of your sisters, we go, whoa, man. Whew. Anyway, taken from our ribs. So you are always permanently and eternally a part of us while we are on the earth. And it is kind of nice when you guys are around. And I was born of a woman, raised by women, strong women. My grandmother, strong, no nonsense, as we found out later, Church of God in Christ, tongue talking, church running, shouting, local missionary, and licensed evangelist in the Church of God in Christ. My mother, the only daughter of my grandmother, same thing, came with the Church of God in Christ, was very involved in statewide ministry. She raised me and my brothers and sisters by herself. That's another story that I'll get into another episode. And I have a lovely daughter here, which my mother helped to raise. She's now an adult woman. And now that my mother has gone on to be with the Lord this past Easter, she is the one woman left here in my life and the closest to me, besides my sister and some other friends that I have who will remain nameless at this time. So I love women. Don't want to make it seem like I'm hating on them, but I just, again, looking for balance. Looking for balance in the way we preach and teach. Oftentimes I go and hear sermons, and the emphasis is always on the female perspective on things. Got to look for a good man, somebody who can lead the house, which is true. I mean, certainly, brothers, we have to step up to the plate, and, you know, we have to, you know, be godly men. Able to be not just financially responsible and over our households, but spiritually, as the term of today, a covering. We should be able to pray for our family. We should be able to lay hands on them. We should be able to counsel with them. We should be able to be that strong, firm, unyielding right shoulder for our wives or daughters or mothers or aunties or nieces to rely on. We should be that strong backbone for them. What I'm saying here is that we need to be encouraged more to do so. That's all, just looking for balance. Because it's a man's world. But it'll be nothing without a woman on our side. Matter of fact, I think the Godfather of Soul says it best. Here's a little clip from the classic song, 1966 rendition from the Ed Sullivan Show. Man's World by the legendary James Brown.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing. Nothing without a woman on the day. You see, man made the car to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load. Maybe the light take us out of the dark. Maybe the boat by the water, like Noah made the ark. This is a man world, but it would be nothing without a woman on the day.
Tell you something, folks. I am a guy that doesn't listen to a lot of, as we like to call, secular music or a lot of R&B or really not that much nowadays outside of gospel music. Because of my relationship with Christ, I try to listen primarily to music that really praises Him and talks about Him as much as possible. But you know, I got to tell you something, folks. When you listen to that cut from 1966, and you say to yourself, this man, who oft-times you couldn't even hardly understand him when he was talking, that the Lord would gift this man who never had a lot of education, Southern man, man's man, dark-skinned African-American man with a process, that he would gift this man with this ability to write a range and somehow sing a song in his own way that would have an impact all over the world. You listen to that song, it's a man's world, and just hear how the strings would come in. I mean, on an R&B cut, a guy that basically originated funk with his different rhythms, offbeat rhythms, just, you know, unbelievable. The late James Brown, hardest working man in show business. Anyway, it's a man's world, he says it best, but again, nothing without a woman. As I told you in the opening of the bylines of the show, if you looked at the title of the show, I told you that we were going to take a look at some successful black man in business in Metro Atlanta, and we're probably going to do this over two episodes because today, I got to tell you, as an African-American man, old school guy, late 40s, it was just an absolute pleasure to see, you know, guys who are my peers, men who are either the same age as me, maybe slightly older, and to see these guys get the kudos that they deserve, not because they did something great on the gridiron, not because they bashed the ball farther than anybody on the baseball diamond, not because they did the most spectacular 360 dunk on the hardwood, but because years ago, a dream that the Lord gave them, using all the intelligence and strength that he gave them, and in most cases, help of a loving and supportive wife and or family, built a business that employs hundreds of people, that has built wealth for themselves, and in many cases for them employees of multiple colors. Pleasure to see that. See these guys suited up, brushed up, tightened up, haircut right, everything in place, shoes shine, as my mom says, pinstripe, little bit of bling, just to let you know what time it is, how they've reached their success. And just to see these men, and also to witness in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, their humility of spirit. Understand that they didn't get there on their own, but they got there. They manned up. They took on the challenge back in a time where it was not convenient or even easy for a man of color to move up and onward in the world of business. People like Gregory Baranko, who is fabulously supported by his lovely and brilliant wife, Miss Juanita Baranko, how they built this empire, which, like so many dealerships, had times of turmoil, had to sell their stores, but sold it to do something even bigger. Had a Lincoln Mercury store, also have a Buick GMC store, but sold the Lincoln Mercury store and have added a crown jewel, a Mercedes-Benz store. And not just any Mercedes-Benz store in any location, but probably one of the premier locations in Atlanta. The Baranko family owns Mercedes-Benz of Buckhead. And for those of you who are not from the Atlanta area, Buckhead is the Tony suburban enclave, not even suburban enclave, but just past downtown Atlanta, where the hippest and the hottest are at, where the folks that are in the know, that have the resources, some of the trendiest, hippest restaurants and stores, all located in Buckhead, and their store, an absolute palace, just minutes from the center of Buckhead, owned by African-American man and woman, and a brother able to stand tall and willing in the public forum to, as always, give credit to his wife being by his side in the team effort. Looking at Daryl Ford, owner of Stone Mountain Chrysler and Jeep, a guy who is natty in his sartorial splendor, pinstripe suit, spread collar shirt, immaculate silk tie, quick and easy smile, has come on television now almost to the point where you see him as much as you see the evening or morning news, has taken the dealership, which was known for substandard performance, and taken it and turned it into one of the top dealers in the Atlanta metro area. That's the kind of thing that I'm looking to see more of. I want to see us uplifted and not bashed. I want to see us given kudos and not trashed, because it's a man's world. And I want to see more men, especially men of color, being celebrated, again, not just because they're a great entertainer, not just because they have the most bling and the shiniest rings, but because they have been stand-up guys, because they've raised families, they've been fathers, they've been husbands, they've been good sons, they've been good nephews, they've been good uncles, and they've been good corporate citizens and good business people. That's why I want to see elevated and celebrated more and more. There are many of you listening to me right now that might have your own heroes and those people that should be celebrated. I want you to take time out of your busy schedule and send me an email. Tell me about these people. I want to talk about them on the air. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring it. Whether it seems politically correct, whether sometimes I seem like I'm going off on a tangent or being a little boring, the one thing I'm going to give you is two things on this show. I'm going to give you a positive outlook about men, because I'm a man, and I'm going to give you a positive outlook about the God I serve. Because the God I serve, when he decided to come here upon the earth, took on the form of a man. Jesus Christ operated in his maleness. Yes, he was meek and lowly. Yes, he was humble. Yes, he learned obedience to his Father God through his suffering. But as he walked upon the earth, in the flesh, God was made man. Significant, not because of slight against woman, but because God wants you to know that he operates as your holy father. And he wants to set an understanding in your mind what a real father is all about. See, a real father is one that loves his children. Not just with a mushy-mushy love that says you can do anything you want to do, but a love that is willing to correct you when you are wrong, and to put you back on the right track because it's for your good. God wants you to know that he's a father who's able to handle business if necessary when his children are not being treated right. You know how it is. Some of you who were raised with a dad, if there was some drama that popped off, what would happen? I'm going to go get my dad. And dad would handle business, not necessarily in some type of fist fight or anything like that, but dad would come out and make sure that everything was okey-doke. Matter of fact, there were times where dad told you, you got to fight for yourself. But then he would go and teach you how to fight. He'd make sure that you learn how to box or go take some karate. Dad was the guy that played catch with you out in the yard. And it might not have been an actual dad, but it was a dad-like figure. Somebody was willing to invest in the youth. So I got a challenge out there. I'm going to lay down the gauntlet. In this time, in this day, in this age, the 21st century is well upon us. In this 2008, eighth year of the new millennium, this challenge goes out to the men that listen to this program, especially men of color. Time for talking is over. You got a grief, you got a grievance, you got a problem. Action speaks louder than words. Great to be mad, but let that anger be motivated into righteous action. Let the righteous indignation be an instrument of instruction and wisdom passing to others with patience, knowing that such ignorance that you might see as you try to instruct, you also were one who was unenlightened at a period of time. And it was through the grace of God that he exposed you to libraries and manuscripts and books and teachings and prophets who who you received an understanding. And now as you walk in wisdom, you need to make others, I need to make others, we need to make others understand that wisdom is the most valuable thing. And with wisdom, understanding. Because the Bible tells with all thy getting understanding. The Bible tells us when we have a vision, he told the prophet, write it down and make it plain. And so that's the challenge. The clarion call has gone out to men because, as the theme is for this show, it's a man's world. The disciples were men. The Bible tells us women supported them. In many cases, wealthy women supported Christ with their substance. But the lion's share of the work in the field was done by men. So I'm calling out. I'm calling myself out. God is calling me. He's calling every one of us who are men, white, yellow, brown, but especially black. It's time to take our nation back. It's time to move forward, get it tight, time to break the bonds, time to move forward and not be slack. It is our season. Because in the words of a woman, Esther the queen, how do we know that we have not been called to the kingdom for a time such as this? How do we know that we are not here at this time, at this season, in this hour, to make a difference? The Bible said about men, some disciples of Christ, when they came into town, the people said about the apostles of Jesus Christ, these men from all backgrounds, fishermen, tax collectors, young boys, older men, some may be a little wealthy, some middle class, most poor. They said, these are they who have turned the whole world upside down. See, everywhere the apostle of Jesus Christ went, things got disturbed because they moved against the status quo, not with violence, but aggressively. Not with hatred, but with love. Because, see, our message is not one that is passive in nature, but aggressive. For all of you who out there who believe that religion is the opium of the people, who think that this is just some indoctrination, maybe even going to the point that they think Christianity is a white man's religion, used to dope us and keep us docile, you need to read and get an understanding. Because we serve a God who aggressively loves. Loves when it's not convenient. Loves when it's not in order. Loves when it doesn't make sense. Loves when you shouldn't. Loves the unlovable. Love suffering long. Aggressive. A love that pours out in such a way that even the people that don't like you, you break them down. Because the Bible says when you love your enemies with this aggressive love, he says like pouring hot coals on their head. Because, see, there's no law, no rule of law, no boundaries, no edicts against love. Who can be mad at someone loving somebody? And see, when you counter anger with soft words, the Bible says you turn it away wrath. The Lord said, if you are following him and doing what he says, even your enemies, he'll make them be at peace with you. Matter of fact, he'll set up a table where you can eat right in their midst. That's what the Psalm says. But the call is to men, because see, the sisters of all colors, they have made this emotional investment and attachment and have that intimacy with Christ. And that's why, sadly, when I look here in the schools and I look in the churches, the lion's share of the work is being done by the women. And I say it should not be. I say the clarion call goes out for you to search out this God as he manifested himself in Jesus Christ and take on the mantle of your maleness and prove, in fact, this is a man's world, not one of violence, not one of haters, not one of coveters looking to see what the other guy's got. Not that, but guys who have sold out to this concept of aggressive love. Men who are willing to go the distance in love for their families, for their communities, for their nation, for this world, but most of all, for their God. Because it's a man's world. We are the crowning creation of God Almighty. He created everything else in all of its beauty, all of its splendor. The waters, blue and green and beautiful, crystal clear. We can still see this in some places as we visit exotic nations and lands, how the water, you can see all the way down to the bottom of the shore. And for those of you who have traveled into places in the Far East and in the Americas, North and South, and gone into pristine places and seen the beautiful flowers. And for those of you who love animals, have seen the different types of animals and their beauty and the color of their coats and skins. But one thing on this earth was created above all of that. That is the human species, because we are the only ones that God said, I have created in my image. Male and female created he them. God wants us as men to take on the mantle of being made in his own image and thinking like him. Learning to handle our business. Don't hate on the sisters. Love on them. Because the Bible says technically they are the weaker vessel. They'll be sought oftentimes with emotions and hormones that rage. They have to bear children. All of these things affect them. They have, as I like to say of my daughter, that feminine time. We don't bleed once a month. They do. They're the weaker vessel. But yet, they too are made in the image of Christ. So I'm saying love on them, but I'm saying, sisters, I challenge you now. I challenge you in the same way that Paul in the New Testament challenged the women of that day. And here's how he broke it down. He said, Sarah is supposed to be the woman you emulate, imitate. And he said about Sarah that even though she birthed the nation of Israel, she still humbled herself in her house to call Abraham Lord. The Bible instructs wives to honor their husbands and respect them as the head of the household, because that's the order that Christ has set in the church. Now, we've heard women say, well, he doesn't handle himself. He doesn't take on a man of leadership. Well, now there's a bigger question then. Then did you follow God and marry who you should have married? If you're telling me that your husband cannot take on the responsibility and the mantle of leadership in your home, spiritual and otherwise, then whom did you marry? Because the Bible says that we should not be unequally yoked. So if you're telling me as a Christian woman that you have allegedly a Christian man in your house, and you're telling me that man is not worthy of your respect, then something's wrong. And keep in mind another thing. No matter how great the man is or how small he is, none of them are perfect. Look at the example of Moses, the leader of the Exodus. Moses had been derelict in his duty to circumcise his son to the point where God sent an angel to kill him. His wife Zipporah did what was supposed to be a male thing, And in disgust, she did take the bloody foreskin and throw it down and said, "You are become a bloody husband unto me." But that's the only time in Scripture that we hear Zipporah approach Moses with that type of tenor. The only time. Because he had put his own life at risk. Sarah was a woman who was so fine that even in her older years, Abraham said to her, "Hey, honey, listen, we go into town. Tell the people you're my sister, because you look so good that the people will kill me so they can have you." And they said this you read in the Bible. This was said not when Sarah was no 25-year-old. She's an older woman. But yet and still the Bible says she called Abraham Lord. And Paul said, imitate that without any amazement. Because let's face it, some of you sisters out there, you're doing mighty good. Six-figure income, running your own business, doing just fine. So the idea of you making yourself subservient into your house to a husband that may or may not make the same income, you go, "Oh, brother." But yet the word says that's how it's supposed to be. So do you believe God or not? Do you trust God or not? Do you believe you have married the husband God gave you or not? It's a man's world. But all of us will admit we'd be nothing without y'all. So, sisters, I challenge you. Love up on you guys some more. And mothers, those of you who are single parents, take it from a guy who knows, because I was raised by one tough woman who was going on to be with the Lord, who everybody saw in her older years and said, this sweet, lovely, beautiful woman, and that she was, soft-spoken, sounded like she was 30 even when she was 75. But she loved us enough to say, "Look here, I'm going to beat y'all so they don't have to beat y'all in a jailhouse. I'm going to punish you now while you're in my house so I don't have to look at somebody punishing you in the big house." So you single mothers out there, I know some of you, that son you have, that's your only love. He's your comfort. He's your boy. Some of you, it might be the representation of a man you really love. If you love that son, you got to discipline him. Beat his behind. You don't act right, beat his behind. He never, as my mother said, you never going to get too big or too grown for you to disrespect me. All of us got to be much bigger than our mom. But here's what she did. She let us know what time it was early on. She said, "If I can't beat you with my hand, I'll beat you with anything I can find." Switch, Hot Wheel track. Some of y'all now old school don't know about that, but the Hot Wheels are little die-cast cars, and they run on a plastic track. And the track came in pieces. My mom used to take that track apart, and it would make a pretty nasty thing to get beat with. Sometimes leave you welts. But I'm in my late 40s. My brother's in the early 40s. My brothers, sisters, all married, got children. Some of them now got grandchildren. Nobody in jail. So we got behind beat. So, mother, you tell me you're loving up on your boys, or I'm loving them. Then you make sure you put some discipline on that boy. He shouldn't be talking back to you. He shouldn't be calling you no other name but one of the following: mom, mommy, ma, mama, or some variation of that. He shouldn't be calling you. If your name is Josephine, he should be calling you JP, Josephine, all out your name. Respect. Because guess what? If you teach him how to respect you, then he's probably going to do a better job respecting his future wife, future girlfriend. Since I also inspire you to have some more gentle love towards your husbands. Because, see, wives, you're treating your husbands like you should treat your sons. You're beating your husband, and you're being tender loving with your son. Flip the script. Show your husband more love. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something that I once said out of the pulpit. Everybody wonders, the question that come up during the message about why there are not more men in the church. And my simple answer to that is this. If wives in the average African-American church would treat their husbands the way they treat the pastors and those men on the ministerial board, you couldn't even find room to fit the men in that church. See, I'll tell you a little secret, sister, which some of you might already know. All we got to do as men is know that you need us. If we really know that you need us, any right brother, man, he'll tear the place down. Because, see, we want your approval. We don't like to tell you that, but we live off of that. We thrive off of that. We thrive off it. It's different when the woman says to her boyfriend, husband especially, man, you looking good. Well, that's all we need. We don't know about to tell us nothing. Because you know how y'all get that look. Oh, honey, you look good. Like you used to do when we was dating. You know how fine we looked, how good. You know, you just couldn't live without us. We need more of that. Now, there might be some of you out there saying, well, look, I give that to my husband. The guy still acts the fool. Well, then, more prayer is needed. Because clearly, somehow or another, either he has fallen away from his original first love of Christ, or there is a disconnect somewhere there. And I'm not trying to talk about, you know, women letting themselves be abused or anything like that. God forbid. Bible doesn't call us anything like that. Okay? But the Bible tells us that we are to obey the commandments of God because they're not grievous. And they're not interdependent on what the other person does. That's the other thing. And this is something I've challenged both to men and women. Guys, for those of you who are married, I'm not married. So you're a lot of guys say, well, brother, you can talk that junk because you ain't married. You ain't going through that. Well, Christ wasn't married. It doesn't appear that Paul was married. And they spoke on this issue. Okay, what's right is right. It's in the Word. Look, reading Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7th chapter. Talks a lot about marriage. Look at, I believe it's either Galatians or Ephesians in the 5th chapter. That talks about how we should conduct ourselves one to another. And so men, again, our challenge is to be men. And all that is tough when we need to, tender when we need to. Don't be afraid to show emotion. Don't be afraid to be tender towards your wife and towards your children. Yes, discipline them, but make sure that they know that you love them. Men, we're being called out. This is the season. We are needed. Women have done their job. Men are needed to step up to the plate and take control of this situation. Take it back from the scoundrels. Take it back from the scam artists. Take it back from the slicksters. Take it back from the phonies. In all walks of life, we have to stand up now and be counted the same way many of our sisters have been for years and years. So again, that's just my encouragement tonight. Sorry I had to rant a little bit. And I'm going to leave you the same way I had in the middle of the show. My prayers are with you all. May the Lord God bless you real good. And please try to know Jesus Christ. Find him and just say yes. Good night. God bless. Well, this will be the hand for you. My soul. That's it.
Wish is my command.